Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. All this hour, we've talked about crime and punishment and redemption. Our final story today, it takes us way back, all the way back to 1638, Providence, and the brutal murder of a young Native man that sparked a dramatic manhunt and eventually a murder trial, and a conviction that may have shaped our legal system since then. Or so argues author and historian Toby Pearl in her new book, Terror to the Wicked, America's First Trial by Jury That Ended a War and Helped Form a Nation. Toby Pearl, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana.
Toby, why did you embark on this journey of research and writing of this book about this little-known historical moment? I knew nothing about it before reading the book.
Sure. I was in the same situation myself when I came across the events. I am an attorney. I once practiced law, and I've served on a jury on a criminal trial. And when I came across these events from 1638, outside Plymouth Colony, this brutal murder and unlikely, remarkable manhunt that followed, and then this landmark jury trial, I was in awe of what I saw. One, because I'd never come across these events in the history books before, and two, because the more I looked into it, the more I realized that Plymouth Colony at this moment had been in such a precarious situation, and yet there was this deep desire to ensure that a jury trial was available as a safeguard against injustice. And I was fascinated and kind of wanted to dive deeper into the research to figure out why, of all the rights we kind of associate with our democracy, why was the jury trial so important to these early settlers?
And why argue the long tail on that jury trial to who and what we are today?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. When former Plymouth Colony Governor William Bradford in 1623 wrote down the order demanding jury trials for those accused of a criminal infraction, the settlers at that time were in desperate straits. They were in a hand-to-mouth existence dealing with starvation, and I realized that there was something important to the settlers regarding jury trials, and that they themselves had faced persecution, physical torture, branding, being thrown in dungeons in England, and had left that behind. And they saw jury trials as this one structure that might be able to act as a safeguard against the worst kind of injustice. And when we look at authoritarian measures that could hamper free speech or other actions that leave people vulnerable to abuse from the governing authorities, jury trials are the one answer to kind of step forward and have 12 citizens stand watch and say, we're going to be the ultimate arbiters of what is justice. And it struck me as very interesting because this was during a time when free speech wasn't very much protected. Other parts of our democracy were nascent, and yet this was that one step that was considered so fundamental. And I think till to this day, it still exists as an ultimate protection. And when you look at countries where a jury might not be available, and I look at what Alexei Navalny is dealing with in Russia, for example, where it certainly appears he did not have access to a jury trial, you can see how quickly things unravel in terms of that fight for justice.
He's a dissident in Russia, just for listeners who might not have recognized that. So there's more I want to get to in the book. There's some really interesting history, but I want to take a couple things head on first. A couple of historians have taken issue with your framing of the book, and I want to take those things head on. First, in the New York Times, historian Francis Bremer argues not the first trial by jury. He says that was 1630. And that he argues it didn't really help end the war. The Pequot War was close to ending already. I'm sure you've seen that criticism. What's your response to that?
Sure. This trial, at the time this happened, 1638, end of July, battles were ongoing from 1636 until 1638 for the Pequot War. And The murder happened in end of July 1638, and you have the murder victim living long enough to report the details of his crime to none other than founder of Providence, Rhode Island, Roger Williams. And it doesn't take much examination of the writings of Roger Williams to see his grave concern at the time that this murder is going to be seen as an action that could have very much further ignited the ferocious attempted genocide and battles of the Pequot War.
So it really essentially kept it, the fact that there was a trial kept the fact of the crime from essentially reigniting the war. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely correct. The jury trial took place on September 4th, 1638, and you can see the investment both among Indigenous peoples and settlers in this jury trial. And then it was about 2.5 weeks later that you see the Pequot War ending by treaty resolution rather than the war continuing on.
And what about the pushback that the first jury trial was in fact in 1630?
Right. You have different scholars looking at events differently. This is the first, certainly at the time, you have the leaders of the settlers describing this as a landmark jury trial. And this is the first trial where you have the jurors identified by name. You have two witnesses who were members of the Narragansett tribe testifying at trial. You have all of these details recorded, and you have the legal analysis provided by Roger Williams. So there was certainly a murder that predates this trial, but this, in my eyes, is certainly the first full-fledged landmark criminal jury trial of the era.
So really the one we would sort of recognize as a trial the way we know it today.
Certainly.
All right, so what was interesting to me in reading the book was the tension that you raise and the resolution that you offer to it. And obviously, it's not like you made it up, right? That you report to us about who gets justice. So we have a victim, and I think I've got his name right, in Penawinyanquis, who was trading fur. He is set upon by a group called the Peach Gang, four of whom attacked him, one of whom later escapes, and three go to trial. They think they've killed him. He actually survives the night and is able to find his way to other white settlers to whom he tells his story, and then he dies, and that then leads to the prosecution. What is remarkable about who gets justice and who is prosecuted, and why was that so striking?
It's a great question. So the leader of this so-called Peach Gang, these four men, was a man named Arthur Peach, who was an indentured servant, and he was also a Pequot War veteran. So this very same war that's unfolding as these events transpired, Peach had fought in this war, in these battles, and there was every rumbling in the settlement during these events indicating that settlers in Plymouth Colony and beyond were loath to see a Pequot War veteran, a fellow settler, prosecuted at a criminal trial for the murder of an Indigenous man. Heartbreaking as that is to realize, that was kind of the rumbling that was going on at the time. So there was a real question mark. Would the settlement be able to put on a trial, find 12 jurors from this relatively small population of about 550 people at the time, who would be willing to sit and listen to the evidence and not make a decision in the outcome of the trial that was based on an identity or a shared feeling of identity of who was being prosecuted, but on the evidence? And this was an excellent example that this could work, that people could look truly to the evidence and make a decision based on evidence alone.
So you've got the potential for bigotry and prejudice. You've got people on two sides of a war. You've got the fact that the accused were, in fact, I think they were all indentured servants who escaped. So there were caste and class issues here. The verdict was by no means a shoo-in. It really was kind of one of those dramas that everyone hung on the edge of their seat until the jury came back.
That's exactly right. There was no sense that the trial was going to reveal itself this way. Every settler, the colonial leaders at the time, from present-day Boston, Mass Bay Colony to Plymouth Colony, Roger Williams in Providence, everyone was very much concerned, waiting for the outbreak of more battles in the Pequot War, this uncertainty. And you even have Massasoit Ussumeequin, the sachem of the Wampanoag at the time, intervening and going to speak with settlement leaders, suggesting that perhaps not all four of the indentured servants should be found guilty. So there was this real parsing out of shared guilt, who would be guilty for this crime and why, and by no means was the outcome of the trial a foregone conclusion.
And pretty much all the players recognized that they were setting precedent, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, these settlers, kind of their one grievance of many, but right at the forefront, leaving, being tortured and suffering injustices in England, was that they would have justice and liberty here in these settlements that they were founding. And I try and shine a very bright light on the dark irony that even as they sought out these liberties and sought out these very early building blocks of our nation's democracy, they also chipped away at these liberties when they did not extend them to Indigenous peoples.
Toby, in our brief time remaining, one of the things you're given credit for in this book is bringing forward Native voices and the Native perspective, which, as a country that's just marked the 400th year since the Pilgrims landed here, often have been erased from history. What kind of research did you do to make sure you were being robust there?
Well, thank you for that question because this is one area that I'm very proud of. I did a tremendous amount of research, and certainly the Mashantucket Pequot Research Center was an invaluable resource, both from their archaeological efforts, but scholarship and the many other resources that we have outside of archives, which don't do a good job of offering historical evidence for Indigenous peoples, for women, for a whole variety of folks who are often left out of our histories. And these events have been told in scholarly journal articles. But what I am most proud of is that I was able to reveal the identity of Roger Williams' slave, who was sent out into the woods to pursue the indentured servants during this manhunt for the murderers. And the identity took me a while to piece together, probably over a year. And I was astounded to find that that person was a young boy, of the Pequot tribe named Will, who was about 10 or 11 years old.
So, bringing somebody forth into the historical narrative who had not been there before. It's a fascinating book. Thank you so much. Toby Pearl is the author of the new book, Terror to the Wicked, America's First Trial by Jury That Ended a War and Helped Form a Nation. Toby, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tiziana. A pleasure.